Hi guys, welcome to a new episode of our podcast. We're gonna continue with the niyamas today, and we are at the fourth niyama, which is swadaya, which is I think inner observance, right, Monica, or something towards that.
Yeah, that's it. Hi everyone. It's about swadhyaya. It's the fourth niyama. It's about inner observance indeed, and it's not just that, because of the intricacies of the Sanskrit language, we have more than just one meaning to it. So on one hand, it includes the studies of the Vedas and other Hinduist sacred books or texts. It includes reciting the Vedas, repeating them out loud. That's what it actually means. And as I mentioned, because what the meaning implies from an etymological point of view, it also means studying one's own self. So on one hand, svadhyaya is this compound Sanskrit word composed out of sva and adhyaya. Adhyaya means lesson, lecture, reading, or chapter. And sva means one's own self or the human soul. Right. So it literally means reading one's own reading, right? One's own lesson.
You mentioned Vedas just before, and maybe you can explain what that is.
They are the sacred texts of Hinduism. Yogis always go back to them. Of course, they're not the only ones. We have Mahabharata, we have Ramayana, we have the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, we have the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, and whatever has been established as a go-to publication or as a go-to text for understanding yoga better, its roots, its history, and the practices it advises us to do. These would be the places. And also, going back to svadhyaya, it also means contemplation or meditation or studying one's own self. So it's very interesting because we, this niyama advises us to understand us better, to study our own self better, and to understand the sacred yogic texts better. So the discussion should be centered, you know, around these two directions. So on one hand, it might include self-observance during the practice, during a physical yoga practice, for instance, or any sort of yoga practice. We are just reflecting upon ourselves, not assessing, not evaluating, but rather simply noticing, observing how we react, what our attitude is, where our resistance to the practice, in front of the practice, lies. Not necessarily thinking what we can do about it or looking for explanations, but merely observing so to understand ourselves better. Then it's also about observing the interactions with others and how we react when somebody challenges us or when something triggers us. These are the very opportunities to learn more about ourselves, I would say. And of course, observing ourselves with respect to studying the sacred texts and viewing ourselves in the light of these authoritative texts, because they are so old and ancient and traditional, right? And most of them are so cryptic. The Patanjali's sutras are so cryptic that generally editions come with their own. Each of the sutras has a lot of explanation and addition to the original translation, right, of it. So yeah, they might be giving us a hard time. At the same time, it's interesting to notice how exactly relevant they are in 2024 and whether we can depict a meaning out of them, out of these sacred texts that can serve us, you know, in the present moment. So yeah, that's how we're looking at Svadhyaya. Of course, leaving the sacred texts on one side, I personally find a lot of challenges in trying to understand myself better. But sometimes I think I know, I can predict how I react in a situation, and then the situation comes and I react in an unexpected manner. I thought I knew me, but then I just I keep learning things about me every single day. So yeah, I like to think of myself as being quite predictable. You know, when I have this arrogance, oh, I know how I will react in that situation, but then it's not always the case. How is it for you? Do you feel like you know yourself a lot in a significant manner, or?
I was just gonna say, I think knowing oneself is a pretty challenging ongoing journey. To your point, I guess what I would say is I try to react to situations the way I feel like I know myself and I would react to that situation, if that makes sense. Does it always happen? No, for sure. There's probably times when I thought something wouldn't affect me as much, right? Or I wouldn't react that way. Or I reacted in a certain way in the past, then I would be like, okay, I'm not going to do that in the future. And then I do. So I think this is, as I said, a challenge, and I'm not sure. I think we kind of touched a bit upon this in one of our previous episodes, but and I mentioned this before, but I'm not sure that you ever really, really know yourself 100%. It's a journey, and for sure you discover more and can apply more, but I don't know if you're going to ever be 100%. Plus, you change throughout your life, so it's an ongoing process, I guess.
Yeah, this changing thing is also something interesting. And by that, I mean, of course, I find myself in situations and I become my features or my personality traits, they modify in such a way that I would not ever think possible. As in, if this particular thing happened to me 10 years ago, then I would definitely not be like this. I would be a different person. This is why this is one of the most rewarding things, I think, when we look at spiritual growth. Finding ourselves in a challenging situation and noticing that our reaction is 10 times better, more productive, and more growth-based, more advanced, more evolved than it would have been in the past. So I think these are the perfect opportunities to notice how much we've grown. Also, if we're disappointed in the reaction that we have towards the situation, then it's also really good to observe it, right? To practice Svadhyaya and to see how we can get better next time and learn something from it. That's how I see it, because, and also, if we're aware of what harms us, what serves us, what inspires us, we're always in close contact with our own true self. So this getting to know ourselves better is extremely useful, I find.
And I think yoga has helped a lot with that, right?
For me personally, yes. Yoga has helped a lot with that. Therapy has helped a lot with that. Getting feedback from my loved ones has helped a lot with that. There's always something to improve, but we must be the ones deciding that, you know, it's time to improve something or this particular thing doesn't need improving. So it depends. I generally like to listen to people, even though it's not very easy at times. I had this one friend that at some point he was doing a 360 feedback, you know. He was literally asking all his close acquaintances and close friends and family to name three things that are good about him and three things that he needs to work on improving about him. So, and the first thing I asked was this, okay, I will tell you, right. You asked, of course, I will do this for you, but how will you manage this feedback from others? Because I know, and you can predict what I will be telling you, but how about, you know, do you have the courage? Do you have the guts to listen to what people are telling you? So yeah, that was interesting. I never had the courage to do that, but I sometimes ask people. So I never liked to do it in a very formalized process or a formal manner, you know, very structured. But yeah, it's interesting because also looking at yourself through other people's lens, through other people's eyes is helpful. I like to practice Vadiaya by acknowledging I don't have the time to study and read like I did in the past and trying to work really hard at improving, at finding that time. I'm really struggling with not necessarily studying, but reading more. Not necessarily sacred yoga texts, but my studies and professional background and former hobbies and passions included a lot of things that had to do with reading and writing. I'm not there anymore. It is one of my deepest, biggest regrets. And I'm struggling with that every day. And yes, it's a challenge. But again, reading is a great way to practice Vadiaya. Self-compassion is another great way to practice Vadiaya as far as I'm concerned. And you will enumerate yours afterwards, of course. I'm a person that's very ruthless to herself. I'm very ruthless when it comes to myself. I'm a perfectionist. I scold myself a lot. I have a lot of things to, you know, to tell myself when something goes wrong. And I usually try to see what I did wrong there instead of focusing on on what I did right. And that's a nuisance for me, really. So the consequence of that is that I really try to give myself some credit and give myself some compassion. So self-compassion is another way. Another way to be in the Svadhyaya moment, I think, for me is creative expression. I always try to be, you know, very creative. And I feel like one of the blessings of the online environment of the internet is this possibility that it gives us to express ourselves. And I like that a lot. And I'm a curator of the things I upload online on my social media profiles. And I have very specific intentions with what I upload there, of course, and I like to do that a lot. So creative self-expression is a good way to do Svadhyaya for me. As I said, seeking feedback from other people, I don't always have the courage to do that. Sometimes people tell feedback about me and my behavior and my attitude without me having to ask them. That's also good. It's sometimes painful, but there's always something to learn from there. Yeah. And I try to meditate. I think meditation reveals our own true self in a good way. So I try to do that as well. That's kind of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. I think, you know, the self-critical part is something that I see in quite a few people, including myself and some close people around me, and including you. And I think, whilst, yeah, you have to have a balance between thinking that you're completely bad, wrong, and so on, and actually giving yourself credit for the things that you did achieve. But I would say that being self-critical is actually not that bad, because to a certain degree, of course, because that means you can improve, right? You don't think you're perfect. You don't think you're the best, whatever. And that gives you grounds to grow and improve. Of course, it depends on what you want. But for me, for instance, that's one of the things that I'm, you know, it's something that I want to do and I'm hoping to do throughout my life. I don't want to kind of stop. And, you know,
it's good to do that.
I think that helps.
I think so. Part of our biggest problems lies from the fact that we don't stop and check ourselves, you know, every once in a while. Just notice what you're doing. Are you happy with what you're doing now?
That too. Yeah, that's a major thing. I think it kind of ties to being in the present. And not only being in the present, but acknowledging what's happening with you in the present, right? So stopping and thinking means, first off, you're not thinking of the past or the future. And then kind of analyzing what's going on with you at that moment, which I think is something that is hard to do. You're not necessarily prone to do that without trying to do it, so to speak, so it doesn't come natural, or not at the beginning. I think through yoga it became more natural for me. And yeah, I think there's a lot of people that just don't even get to it, just because they don't necessarily have the means. If you don't get into yoga or spirituality or something, that's not gonna come as a natural thing, or it didn't for me at all.
You're not exploring, you will not be exploring that. Yeah, it's good to, because you know, the yoga practice in itself, if we really devote ourselves to it and try to study it and understand it a bit better, it's like a mirror that we hold in front of ourselves, right? And this is exactly Svadhyaya, noticing our behaviors, our attitudes, the way we react, and understanding what can we improve about ourselves. So it's a mirror in which we learn to see ourselves more deeply, you know, even in terms of our true motivation. For instance, I know myself well enough to understand that, to be able to understand what motivates me, what helps me get disciplined, and what prevents me from keeping my motivation and discipline. So if I understood that, then of course I will avoid the things that put a stop to my development, and I will try to insist more on the things that help me be more disciplined and more motivated. So it's that easy. It's not necessarily to, you know, improve yourself, but be a better person for even for the people surrounding you. You know, if you're not interested in much in self-development, be a better wife, a better husband, a better child, a better friend, or yeah. And I think we can only achieve this by knowing ourselves better. That's how it is.
Yeah, and as I said already, it's that's where the challenge lies, because once you start getting to know yourself, you can end acknowledging some patterns or some things that you do that you like or don't like, right? That's when you can address them, but that can be a painful experience, because that means acknowledging, owning up to some stuff, right? And not all of them are probably going to be good, because let's face it, no one's perfect. So yeah, I think that's also just that's one of the reasons maybe it doesn't come natural, because that's the body's mechanism to protect you from unpleasant experiences, which this will certainly be to a certain degree.
Trust hurts, and noticing you're not perfect also hurts. No, so but by examining our thoughts and emotions and behaviors, we can. I firmly believe we gain good insights into our passions, into our strengths, into our weak points, into our areas of growth. So if we practice Svadhyaya by studying ourselves, our own inner self, and being more self-aware, this truly takes us in a place where we will align the actions with the values that we have, and we can also reside in this place from where we see our purpose and we follow it with more clarity, with more focus, with more, intention setting. So I'd say it's a great tool. Svadhyaya as a niyama is a great tool to personal growth and to self-discovery. And it leads us in this journey of self-exploration and self-transformation also, because yes, you study yourself, you examine yourself, but for sure you will not be very happy with what you find. So yeah, it's on us to find that balance. If I am to think at a literal physical yoga asana practice, I think it's a really great tool of being in Svadhyaya mode, because this asana practice is a great tool to look at how we can achieve obstacles, right? Because if the teacher challenges us a little bit, or if we say, okay, I'm not in pain, so maybe now it's a good opportunity to push a little bit over the edge, just see if I can just push myself a little bit more today, and remove this roadblock and maybe try something that propels me forward, and overcoming obstacles and also discovering how we can cope with these obstacles. Again, if I am to think of a literal yoga asana practice, I think it's a great tool to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we keep saying in these episodes about niyamas and yamas. They all complement each other, and they complement the yoga practice, the physical side of things as well. So, and outside of that, right, outside the mat, but they're all, I think, linked to each other, and just help you, I'd say, live in a more conscious, maybe to a certain degree, better place overall, right? If we think about what we discussed so far, nonviolence, being self-aware, practicing kindness, and so on. So I think they're very in tune with that, and just overall, probably, I'd say, making you a better person, or an improved version of yourself.
An improved version of yourself, yeah. I absolutely feel the same. And if I am to think about the physical yoga practice, it's really interesting to see the limitations as well. So yeah, maybe we push ourselves today in this very moment to overcome this obstacle, or to get into this difficult pose that we haven't achieved so far, that we haven't reached so far. But the practice itself also reminds us that we are more than our bodies, with its aches, its fine lines, its aging, its pains, its decay. So it's not something that we can get around, right? We can play a little bit with reversing aging or keeping youth. But aging is there, right? So it's also interesting. The self-reflection and self-study is something that it's compulsory to explore, as far as I'm concerned. That's how I see it. And it's so good to see, it's humbling, if that's, yeah, I think that's a good word to look at it, to put. It's humbling to see that, okay, that's me. I can do more. But then again, that's about all I can do. So let's accept that and be fine with it.
Yeah, it's about it's just as much self-discovery as it is self-acceptance, right?
Yeah, that's the golden truth, I think. I'd like to come back for a second to the other half of the Svadhyaya, meaning studying of the sacred texts. I don't think yogis or yogi curious people, yoga curious people, let's word it that way, should be, you know, afraid of the very cryptic and difficult to grasp ancient yoga texts. We have a lot of versions that are more user-friendly and a lot of easy to grasp translations nowadays. And luckily, there are so many good yoga books out there that were written by people who are still alive and who have, you know, made it their purpose to make us understand yoga better. So if you ever come across something that you feel is enlightening and can deepen your practice, just, you know, have a look and see what you can understand from there. It's always, always so helpful to know more than you know now, especially about things that you love and are interested in. Yeah. So it's a whole world of yoga literature out there. Just tap into it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the more you learn, the more you want to know, so to speak, and the more you realize just how much you don't know.
Yeah, that's the, yeah. Oh, if only we had more than 24 hours in a day to read more, that would be amazing, but we don't, so we must deal with what we have.
Yeah, prioritize accordingly, I guess, if you can, to a certain degree, right? But I think in life, different things will shift in terms of priority, right? It depends on the, you know, where you are, what stage you are in your life. And you were saying earlier that, you know, you used to read more and now you're struggling. But yeah, maybe this is just a stage, you know, it's accepting first, practicing. accepting, you know, that maybe, you know, this stage is just, it's although you enjoy that, it's not your top priority. It's just, you know, and that might be, again, the case, you know, in however many months or whatever, when some other things shift.
Yes, and as a consequence of what you're saying, maybe this is also a clear sign that I need to be more self-compassionate with myself and not be super upset because I don't have the time to read or prioritize it. Yeah, you live, you learn, I guess. So,
we're all challenged with that. I think, right? At least, maybe I'm projecting, but I completely identify with what you're saying. So, and I know of other people that have, you know, similar challenges with. So it is just as I think, as I said, you know, just different stages. Give yourself some grace, but you know, at the same time, yeah, if that's an important thing to you, find a way to make time. If that makes sense, what is it in your life right now that stops you from it, and how can you, let's say, move things around, improve whatever, to make time for things that are important? I guess.
Yeah, that's the thing to do, and this is exactly what Svadhyaya is: reflect on what you're doing, understand yourself more, and see what is there to be modified. Yeah, that's how I see it. So let's see what our listeners have to say. Hopefully, I mean, not hopefully, but I know for a fact that a lot of us are struggling with getting to know each other better and finding the time for studying. So if you guys have your stories that you'd like to share, we're here to listen. You know, pitch in the comments or via DM, reach out to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's us for today, guys. If you made it this far, thank you so much. We will see you next time. I think we're going to conclude with the yamas and niyamas. We'll see what we do. But we have one left of each. So stay tuned for those.
Yes.
You guys, bye.